So we're in the book of Judges, and we have started looking at one of the greatest of the judges, that is Gideon. He's given the most attention in this book, and we're in the sixth chapter of Judges. And all we've done so far is look at the preparation of the man. When God raises a man or a woman to be used of him, we must consider the process of that person being prepared for the decisive period of ministering to the Lord. And we've seen Gideon's background, his encounter with God under the oak tree at Ophrah, and then his assurance that God was with him, and the first test that God gave to him to prove his faith. We're now going to start looking, and we're going to need a couple of Bible studies to consider this, the great climactic event in Gideon's life, which is, of course, the battle against the Midianites. Remember, in this book of Judges, for each cycle, each judge, there's usually a different enemy. And the enemy in Gideon's time are the Midianites coming from the east and plundering the livestock and the crops and the goods of the children of Israel. And God now is about to use Gideon. He's prepared his man, and now the time has come. So we'll just read tonight the end of chapter 6 in Judges. So let's read from verse 33. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpets, and the Abshurites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is a dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. And then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. Now, the account of the battle against the Midianites isn't going to come until chapter 7. It's interesting, in verse 33, the Midianites are gathering together in the valley of Jezreel. Does that ring any bells? You can't speak, can you? Let me answer. It was the same place where Barak, the previous judge, fought against Sisera. Isn't that interesting? And poor Israel had been under oppression by the Midianites now for 6 years or so, and they had such a spirit of fear that they could not be victorious over the enemy. But now the time has come for God to lead his people to victory. He's prepared his judge, and now, in God's perfect timing, Gideon is going to go out. Doesn't it feel a bit like that in our situation in evangelicalism in the West? Haven't we been oppressed for too long? Isn't it time for God to move? Isn't it time for God to raise up servants for himself. It's interesting, isn't it, the timing. Some people would say, why didn't Gideon go before? If God had prepared him, why didn't he just go? Just do it. But that would be presumption. If we go before God's time, we're going in our own strength. But it's just as wrong to drag our feet. It's unbelief, isn't it? Not to go after God's time. So what I'm trying to say is, it's the perfect timing that we need. When we're walking with the Lord, we're not going to go ahead of him or drag our feet. We'll go trusting in him. And at the exact time, we will go forward. There's a hymn which I like. It says this, triumphant Zion, lift thy head. The church, Zion, lift thy head from dust and ashes and the dead. Thou humbled long. Isn't that where we are at the moment? We've been humbled. Thou humbled long. Awake at length and gird thee with a Saviour's strength. This is what's happening here to Gideon. Now, two things we want to make note of. God's time has come, and two things happen to Gideon as a result. That's what we want to note before we come to our time of prayer. The first is this, verses 34 and 35. He's endowed with the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. A better translation is, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. He's enveloped in the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? We looked before at the fact that Gideon had already met with God. Gideon had already been called by God. He'd already been commissioned and been promised by God. Isn't that enough? Oh no, before Gideon can go one step into the battlefield, he must receive power. Doesn't that remind you of the church? In the book of Acts, Jesus Christ had authorized the church in the Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. I am with you. But they didn't just go. They waited. And on the day of Pentecost, they were endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. I think our problem is we mix authority and power. They're not the same thing. We have the authority. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But it's not just the word. It's the Spirit, the power coming upon the word. And I think that's where we are lacking. There is a lack of emphasis today on what Gideon experienced. And Gideon is an Old Testament saint. And there were very few men and women of God who received the power of the Spirit in the Old Testament. When you come to the New Testament, it's much more common. And we are living in that dispensation. My brothers and sisters, we need, not just we who are preachers, but we need a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. One commentator puts it beautifully. It's time for Gideon. It's time for Gideon to act. And at this critical moment, God intervenes to enable him to do so by clothing him in his Spirit. It is not literal armor Gideon needs, but God's Spirit to envelop and empower him. That's why I read David. David facing Goliath. And Saul, the king, thought, if David is going to go and God is going to go with him, what he needs is my armor. So Saul clothed David in his own armor. And David said, I can't use this. I can't. My friends, we are trying to fight the Lord's battles in Saul's armor. We think that we have the resources, that we have the ideas, that we have the numbers. And somehow we think this is a match against the forces of darkness. We can't fight in Saul's armor. the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We need the endowment of the Holy Spirit. Have you seen that? I believe in God the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many steps there are up into our little pulpits. When Spurgeon was pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, 19th century, each time he went up a step to preach, he prayed, I believe in God the Holy Ghost. This endowment of power. And as a result of that, I'm afraid I've got to hurry you through these verses. Gideon sounds the trumpets and he gathers his own people, the Absarites, and then he gathers the tribe of Manasseh and then the neighbouring tribes, Asher, Zebulun and Naphtali. I've got the numbers here. It's about 30,000, if I can find the number. An army of about 32,000. Wow. We're going to see what's going to happen to that army later. So here is God's time. The Spirit comes upon the man of God. And as a result of that, the people of God gather towards Gideon. What about us? Jesus Christ. Gideon, remember, is a judge. A judge is a type of the deliverer, Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ started his public ministry, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He needed that power. And the Spirit did not fill him to a degree. He had the Spirit without measure. I've already mentioned the church in the book of Acts. If you turn to Acts chapter 13, you had the church in Antioch, one of the most spiritual of the congregations, and they did not decide, they didn't have a church meeting where they decided to have a missionary trip to Europe. That's what we would tend to do today. What happened was this. They were ministering to the Lord, maybe doing what we're doing tonight, or maybe in prayer and in fasting. And as they were doing that, I think it's verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Do you see what's happening? Saul has already been converted. He's already been filled with the Spirit. And yet, God has a decisive work, an important work for these men to do. It wasn't the church who decided to send out Barnabas and Paul on this missionary trip. It was the Spirit coming upon those two and coming upon the congregation. And all the congregation did was acknowledge, recognize that God's hand was upon Barnabas and Saul. Sad to say, evangelicalism has been taken over by the business mentality often, where we try to initiate things. You know, we can't initiate converts. We all agree on that. But we can't initiate missionaries. We can't initiate preachers. It is God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that endowed Gideon, the Spirit that came upon Saul and Barnabas, is the same Spirit that calls us to Christ, that calls men to preach, that calls people to serve the Lord overseas. We don't start anything. If this church starts initiating things, God help us. All we do is pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. And look for men and women that he has his hands upon. It's a very different mentality. So this is the first thing. We've got to move on to the next. But Gideon is endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be those who believe in the Holy Spirit. May we pray tonight for an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the preaching, upon the hearing, and that the Holy Spirit would initiate works in our church, new works, praise God that he is working. We don't want to despise the day of small things. The second thing that happens, and this is the controversial one, and thankfully we haven't got much time. The sign of the fleece. Verse 36. Gideon has been anointed. And the task is so enormous, and Gideon's temperament is such, he needs reassurance. He asks God for a special sign that he's going to be with him. I don't want to go through all the details, but it's the sign of a fleece, and Gideon has the tenacity to ask for a double sign. So the first thing he asks for is this. He says, let me just read verse 37. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the ground, and if there is dew on the wool only, and it's dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel. Now, that's quite something, isn't it? But then, the second thing he asks for, verse 39, and this is more miraculous, let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. Now, that takes a divine intervention. I'm not into my fabrics, but one commentator who is says, this would be even more striking and marvelous, since it's in the nature of wool to absorb moisture. The second sign would therefore go against nature and demonstrate God's power to do what seems impossible to men even more clearly. So Gideon needs confirmation. We come across, don't we, a saying. Do you use this saying? I think it's a generational thing. To put out a fleece. Do you say that? I must be sure about something, and so I'm going to put out a fleece. I'm going to ask the Lord for a sign. What do you think? Do you think it's the right thing to do? Have you put out fleeces? Is it biblical? A number of commentators, they berate Gideon here for lacking faith. And they say we shouldn't be asking for signs. God doesn't condemn Gideon. Gideon here isn't looking for guidance. He's looking for confirmation. Gideon is facing such an awesome task. He's got to be absolutely certain. Now, let me read some quotes. Dale Ralph Davis. If you haven't got Dale Ralph Davis on Judges, get him. He's most helpful. He puts it well. Gideon wants to be more sure of Yahweh's sure word. He is hesitant, not unbelieving. It is not the absence of faith, but the caution of faith we see here. What does the Bible say? He that believes shall not make haste. We want things too soon. I don't think Gideon is lacking in faith in asking for confirmation. We sometimes think, don't we, of Christianity in too mechanical a way. We're not robots. It's not just a matter of getting our theology right and knowing the principles of Scripture. We're walking with the Lord. We're in the flesh. We're human beings. We've got struggles. We need reassurance. And it's not just some concept that we are following. It's a living person. And surely, when it comes to critical junctures in our life, we need confirmations from our Saviour. I believe firmly in that. I got to take my hat off to Gideon here. I think it's a sign of great spirituality. So as I come to a conclusion, how can I apply this to us? Pastor, are you saying that I should be putting out my fleece tomorrow morning? No. I'm saying we should be guided by God's word. This is the roadmap for our souls. Gideon had scripture. He didn't have as much as we have. We've got principles here, timeless principles, that tell us how we are to order our life. God, when he does give us intimations, signs, whatever you call them, never contradicts the principles here. There is providence. God is in control of everything. And so if something is of God, there will be an opening, as we say, an open door. But again, an open door that contradicts what we have here is not of God. Scripture, providence. So if you're thinking of some of the important questions, I don't know, are these the important questions for you? What work should I do? For me, that's a big decision. Maybe we've got to recognize we're different here. Gideon is the kind of person who needs to be sure, so we mustn't make everybody the same. But for myself, I would need confirmation in terms of choosing a job. Yes, I've got to use my spiritual common sense, use the word of God. Yes, I've got to trust God and look at providence. But then, confirmation. This is not relevant to me, but whom should I marry? Yes, the Bible says if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't marry an unbeliever. But it doesn't tell me who I should marry, does it? There's a place sometimes for confirmation. If you are going into the ministry, this is the most awesome task of all, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Yes, we must use the word of God. We must look to God's dealings with us providentially, to what the elders are saying. A man called to preach is going to be confirmed by the elders. But surely there's got to be as well confirmation. Now, what is it? It's not a literal fleece, is it, the confirmation? Sometimes the Lord gives a verse. Some of us have had this experience. A verse suddenly stands out. It's not just the verse speaking to you in a normal way. It's God giving a token. And it's possible to hold on to that verse for months, even years sometimes. It may be a certain person, maybe an impossibility. Maybe you will pray, Lord, if this is of you, then bring a certain person across my path who may be living in another part of the world or something. Confirmation. Now then, as I conclude, let me use this illustration. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, many of us have been helped by his writings. He uses this illustration. I don't know when was the last time you caught the train. but if you look at the timetable, you've got to make sure that you get to the station on time. You've got to make sure that you're getting onto the right train. So if you think, I've got my scriptural principles worked out, I've used my spiritual common sense, I'm looking at providence, all of these things are together, so this person now has reached the station on time, he's on the right train, but the train doesn't move. Why not? Why not? It's waiting for the signal. Only when the signal is given can the train move forward. And for me, the confirmation is like the signal. The signal. Now, please don't misunderstand me here now. There are some well-meaning Christians. They're looking for confirmations, even in terms of what socks they should put on in the morning. It's not that kind of area we're thinking of here. There are big decisions sometimes that we have to make in our Christian life. And all I'm saying is, surely the word which generally guides us and providence, God's dealings with us, those are not enough. There needs to be a confirmation. A confirmation. Well, there we go. Gideon. We're going to look at him next as he faces the army of the Midianites.